Life for most residents of Baghdad has been hard since the end of the war. Much of the city's electricity grid is still down, there's virtually no telephone service, and nearly 60% of the population is out of work. In the second part of our series on coping with the aftermath of war, NPR's Guy Raz spent a day with the Al-Safar family.
Even at 8 in the morning, it's too hot to sit inside. So 83-year-old Jawad Al-Safar, the family patriarch, sits in his front garden under the shade of a fig tree. He feels refreshed this morning.
The electricity situation last night was good. You know why? Because our neighbor has a generator. Yes, sometimes he gives us a current.
Electric cables spill into Jawad's backyard on either side of the simple two-story stucco home. One electric line from one neighbor, the other from another. If Jawad's power goes out, he can try using electricity from his neighbor's house. Usually it's enough to get the fans going for a few hours. Every 20 minutes or so, two tanks roll down the street past the house. It's too loud to continue the conversation, so Jawad suggests moving to the sitting room, even though the temperature inside is upwards of 98 degrees.
Maybe it's too hot inside, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe better, yeah.
Yes, they're better.
Better, yes.
No electricity.
Too hot inside.
Yes.
We return to the garden to find Jawad's 46-year-old daughter, Asil, sitting in the shade, fanning herself with a muhefe, a woven straw fan. Asil's an X-ray technician and specializes in repairing CT scanning machines. Like any other normal day, she's made up, ready to go to work, except she's not going anywhere. The hospitals don't have enough power to run the CT scans.
All of the hospital, they don't have electric. They don't have enough generators to run this machine.
Inside the house, in a back room, Suhail, the family's eldest son, lies in bed, occasionally swatting a fly from his face. At 47 years old, Suhail is also out of work. He relies on his father for help. Unlike the rest of the family, Suhail doesn't much complain about the situation.
Temporarily, I think these things are temporarily.
He says Iraqis are impatient. They want it all, and fast. But according to Suhail, nothing could be worse than the previous regime. He lived in Britain in the late 1970s for 5 years. He fell in love there with an English woman and returned to Iraq in 1982 for a short visit. But he was immediately drafted into the army during the Iran-Iraq War. He wasn't allowed to leave the country again. Suhail says the previous regime robbed his generation of its youth, and ever since that day he returned to Iraq, he's been dreaming about the future and where he'll spend it.
Not here. I'm not intending to spend my life here.
Upstairs, a gaggle of girls scarfs down hamburgers and french fries and sips Pepsis. The electricity is back on and the satellite channel is set to a Lebanese pop music station. 20-year-old Rasha shares this room with her older sister Rula and their mother Asil.
This is my room. I sleep here. My mother here and my sister here.
Rasha is a university student. She's in the midst of exams. Tomorrow she'll have to muster all her strength to write about Wuthering Heights and the Great Gatsby.
We swept. I want to cry, really.
You sweat?
Yeah.
You can't sleep?
Of course. And have an examination. I have to read. I have to comfortable to read.
Her sister Rula and the other girls here are more interested in going out and having fun. But not lately. Crime has kept most people off the streets after dark.
We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything.
Back downstairs, their mother, Asil, takes advantage of the blasting air conditioner. Power's been on for about 2 hours.
Allah, time off. 6 o'clock. Khalas.
No electricity.
No electricity. Okay. Just for 2 hours. That's enough.
The electricity cuts. It's time to go back outside. And the day ends as it begins, in the garden under the fig tree. Guy Raz, NPR News, Baghdad.